Last Sunday evening, I began a tangent on the studies I've been doing on wisdom and looking at the subject of rest. And I want to go tonight straight away to almost the very first page of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It's actually on the second page of my Bible, so it's Genesis 1, 26.
You want the Bible there, some more there, huh?
Did you want the Bible? Okay, okay. And I'm just going to read a few verses, starting at verse 26, through to the end of verse 3 of chapter 2. It's only a few verses. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth. And every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now we've read there those few verses where God creates man. And he says, "Let us make man in our image." And God creates man. And it says here in verse 28, it says, "Then God blessed them." You know, the first words that Adam heard after his creation were these, with God giving him a blessing. And it was this: "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it." You know, God gave Adam this work, this mission, if you like, this task of being fruitful and replenishing the earth. He told him to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the cattle, over the birds. Having dominion and authority in the earth that he had created. God told him how he was to function. He said that, he says, you're to plant seed so that it grows. And this seed, he said, would be for your food. You know, as you plant the seeds, you know, they will yield seeds. And he set in motion this, the seasons and the harvest, that you sow, you reap. You sow, you reap. And that was being established right here from the very beginning. And this was going to be the way he would support himself. You know, he would enjoy the fruit of his labors. As he sowed seed, he'd have food to eat. You know, and this would be the way he was going to operate in order to replenish the land that God has put him in. And this means of sowing seed and having authority and dominion was how he was going to fulfill his God-given and God-ordained task. Now, we read in verse 31 that God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And then it says, evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, God gave this instruction to Adam on the sixth day of creation. And what followed the sixth day? The seventh day. A day of rest. You know, I believe in that God was, he gave instructions to Adam on day six and said, this is what you've got to do. You've got to replenish the earth. You've got to fulfill. You've got to subdue. You've got to have authority and dominion. But he says, first, he says, you need to take a rest. I believe that a precedence was being set here by God. He was showing us the importance of entering into rest. It's a necessary part of our life of faith. And we saw a little bit of that last week. Now on Wednesday night, Wednesday that's just gone, we were looking at spending time in God's presence, really as a prerequisite for our service to God. You know, we saw from various examples in the scriptures that, you know, God caused them to rest in his presence so that he could infill them and call them and send them out to serve him. We looked at Moses, we looked at David, we looked at the apostles. You know, and rest is important for us because we cannot be continually, now, whether we're in what we call the fivefold ministry or whether we're an encourager or one of the other ministries in the church, or whether we don't have one of those ministries but we're just fulfilling what God has put on our heart to do, we cannot be continually giving out without being filled. You know, if you start to drain a water system, or if there's a problem with your geyser in your bathroom and it's not receiving water, at some stage it's going to run dry. And we will be the same. And I've known a lot of people involved in ministry that have been continually ministering, you know, 7 days a week. And they get burnt out. They come completely drained and dry, and then they're really no good for serving God. Now, God can fill them and give them rest and get them back on course, but they don't take rest. You know, we cannot be like that. We've got to be filled with something to give out, and that comes from resting in his presence, and that's what we saw a little bit on Wednesday. You know, there's blessedness in rest. Jesus was talking about this Sabbath day rest to his disciples and to those that challenged him about working on the Sabbath day. And if you turn with me to Mark's Gospel chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And in verse 27. He made a statement. Because the Pharisees had made some comment about the disciples as they were walking through the fields on this Sabbath day, that they just took a few heads of corn or wheat, you know, and they just rubbed it in their hands to take the grains, and they were accused of threshing the wheat and saying, you're doing work on the Sabbath day. And Jesus made this statement in verse 27. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You know, the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was made to give man rest. You know, man wasn't made just to accommodate what happens on the Sabbath day. Let me read a couple of other translations here, because the Sabbath rest, it says in the Amplified translation, was made on account and for the sake of man. In the New Living Translation, it says it was made to benefit people, to give them rest. You know, there's blessedness in rest. As I said just a minute ago, we cannot be fruitful if we labor all the time. Rest is necessary. And you see, people think, even in the secular society, and it's even, and you see it also in the church, they think they can work 7 days a week, long hours, earning enough money to live. Now that thinking is wrong, it's flawed, and it's against the word of God. We need to be told to take rest. 6 days, in the commandments it says, you shall labor and do all your work, and on the seventh day you shall go and do another shift. No. It says take rest. There's a verse in the Psalms. You don't have to turn it up, but I'll read it to you. It's in Psalm 127, verse 2. Because this says here, it's just as wrong for us to rise up early in the morning and go to bed late in the evening. The scripture says this in Psalm 127. It says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he, talking about God, gives his beloved sleep. God gives us rest. God created us to rest. We, our bodies are created to take a break, to rest, to sleep. That's why we don't work and we don't stay awake 24 hours a day. You know, we have that. Now, however many hours you think your body needs to rest, we have that fixed time in the, and it's generally in the evening, unless of course we work at nights, then we sleep during the day. But we take those 8 hours or whatever to rest our bodies. Why? Because we need it. We cannot function. You can't go 2, 3, 4 days without sleep. You know, we have to rest. And fruitfulness comes out of rest. If we want to be fruitful, we need to rest. That's what God was setting Adam up with. He says, yes, you've got this task. He says, but first of all, he says, I want you to learn to rest. Learn to rest. Blessing comes out of rest. We see it in nature. The trees and the flowers have to rest. Through the winter months, they lay dormant. They're resting. But then, once the spring arrives, they burst into fruitfulness, and they produce their flowers or they produce their fruit. And then when the flowering or fruiting season has gone and harvest is over, they take their rest again until the next spring. We touched on this last week. The land has to rest. Now, I grew up in, once I moved out of London, and we moved into the countryside, the Cambridgeshire countryside. We lived in a farming community. And you soon got to learn that the farmer cannot keep cultivating his land year after year after year. There has to be a time of rest for the land. And we used to see very often, and it always amazed me and as a young boy when I looked and said, well, why hasn't that farmer planted nothing this year? Because he's giving the land rest. Actually, this is a scriptural principle as well. And we read it in the book of Exodus 23, where God is talking about this this rest. He says, 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat. And what they leave, the beasts of the fields may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. Now this rest wasn't just good for the land, but it also was a blessing for the poor of the land. Why? Because whatever grew of its own accord in that land, don't forget the land wasn't sowed, it wasn't cultivated. So whatever the land produced of itself was purely for the poor to avail themselves of. Now, we also know, and I learned this from living in the farming community, that a really successful farmer will not grow the same crop on his land every year. He might grow it for 2 or 3 years, but then there will be a change of crop. Why? Because In the farming thing, this is known as crop rotation. And this is because different types of crops put different minerals into the soil. You know, and you have to let the soil be fed. You know, a green vegetable, like cabbage or something, will put different minerals into the soil than what something like wheat will. You know, we find all this is scriptural. You know, we need to rest. There's something else I want us to know. Let's just go back to Adam for a moment. Back in Genesis chapter 3. Sorry, chapter 2. You know, Adam has been, he's in the land. You know, he's learned this, he's learned about rest, he's doing what God had commanded him to do, he's tending the land, he's looking after it. And then he's naming all the animals. Every animal that God brings to him, he gives it a name. He calls it the elephant, the camel, the kangaroo, the spider, the fly, the moth. He gives all these animals, all these insects, and the birds and the beasts, he gives them all their names. And then as he's looking around all these things, he sees there's something missing. There's not one of those creatures that God has put in the earth that he can relate to. And so no doubt he voices this to God, and God says in verse 8, he says, yes, it's good, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And then verse 21 says, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on him. And he slept, and God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And with the rib, God fashioned it and made woman. You know, what we see here is that out of rest comes blessing. God gave him a wife. God gave him woman. God's gift to him. You know, the scripture says this in Proverbs. It says that the man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. God does his best work in us when we rest. Now, let's
say that again.
God does his best work in us when we rest. Because if we're always on the go, then, and we're always busy doing something, you know, we can be too busy serving God on doing things which we think are right and proper and godly, and we think it's in the will of God, and we can be so busy doing these things that we don't take time to rest, that we miss out and we actually lose the blessing. We need to rest. This was a command given to God's people in what we commonly call and we know as the Ten Commandments. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now God instilled this rest into Adam right from the very first day on earth. God gave him commandment to rest. You know, why does God tell us to rest? It's not so that he can curb our enjoyment and prevent us from doing something which we want to do. But he does it so that we are blessed. You know, God wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. Listen to this verse again from Exodus. We was in Exodus a little while ago. But Exodus 23 verse 12. He's talking about this Sabbath day rest. And he says, 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. Not just for man. He says, so that your ox and your donkey may rest. And so the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed, may be blessed. Now God's purpose is always to bring blessing into our lives. Now this word, it's used quite a lot in some of these scriptures, is the word Sabbath. This word literally means, it comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, it means an intermission, time out. You know, you have an intermission in the middle of, you go to watch a film at the cinema, or you go to the theatre, they have this intermission, a break, a short break in the middle. The word Sabbath. It's calling us to rest and be still. Now, people don't do that. They don't want to rest. They don't want to be still. They don't want to take this time. And it was no different for the people of God. And there's a quotation in Isaiah, in Isaiah 30, where it's verse 7. And it says this, actually it doesn't say this in the New King James, but in the Old King James translation of this verse, it says this. It says, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this." And he's talking, and it says at the end of the King James version of that verse, it says, "Their strength is to sit still." When we sit still, we rest, we receive strength. Then it goes on in verse 15 of the same chapter. And God speaking, he says, "Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." But, he says, you wouldn't. You would not. You wouldn't take rest. "I want to bless you. I want to give you all you need, but you won't rest." God wants us blessed, but that involves us taking time to rest. And many miss out on that blessing because they just don't know how to rest. And they try and do it all. As again, I go back to those that I know that have just been burnt out in ministry. Why? Because they don't know how to rest. And they think they've got to keep on going and serving. And they think every time they get an invitation to go somewhere preach or... they've got to accept it. No. We've got to learn to rest. In the Gospels, and I won't be long. I've just got a couple of scriptures to read. In the Gospels, in Mark's Gospel chapter 4, Jesus was teaching a parable to explain how God's kingdom worked. So come with me to Mark's Gospel chapter 4. Actually, Mark's Gospel chapter 4 contains a number of different parables. And actually, it's all talking about the same type of thing. It's talking about this law of sowing and reaping. He talked about the parable of the sower. But then look at verse, we're going to go towards the end of the chapter. Verse 26. Jesus was explaining how the kingdom of God functions, how it works. And he said this, verse 26. He says, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day. And the seed should not sprout and grow. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Now what's he telling us here? He's saying, look, he says, the kingdom of God is like this. This is how the kingdom of God works. He said, it's like a man who sows seed into a field, into the ground. He says, the man goes to sleep at night, and he wakes up in the morning. He says the seed grows by itself. And then there comes a time for the man, when the grain is fully ripened, the man to put in the sickle and reap the harvest. So what was this man doing in the parable? Did the man sow the seed in the ground? And did he harvest the crop? Yes. But what did he do in the meantime? Did he make the seed grow? No. What was he doing between the sowing and the reaping? Resting. There's nothing now, he may have been watering the seed and doing what was necessary, but generally he was resting. Was he panicking about the seed? Was he worrying whether the seed would actually produce and grow? No. Was he losing any sleep because of the seed? No. Now I know because, not because I'm a farmer, but again because I used to see this every day in our village. You'd see the farmers, they'd sow the seeds. I don't think I ever saw the farmer go out the next morning to the field and look to see if it was up. He didn't go out the day after that, or the day after that, or the day after that. In actual fact, he let this seed grow by itself. He didn't go and dig the crop up and say, oh, there must be something wrong with it because it hasn't grown, and perhaps I've done something wrong. No, he just leaves the seed in the ground and he rests. He almost forgets it. Now, I don't think he ever forgets he's got seed, but, you know, trying to get that. He doesn't worry about the seed. He's not losing any sleep because it doesn't appear after the first 2 weeks that there's any sign of growth. But then, all of a sudden, get little green shoots. And the crop begins to grow and it produces. And he's resting this time. But then there comes a time to put in the sickle, to harvest the crop. Now this is the essence of what what Paul was teaching in the book of Philippians, and this very well-known verse. And actually, she's not here tonight, but I believe this is Sister Antoinette's favorite verse, where it says here in Philippians 4, verse 6, where it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Be anxious for nothing. But he says, with prayer and supplication, he says, being thankful, bringing your prayer requests with thanksgiving. He says, let these requests be made known to God. And then he says, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. What's he telling us here? He's telling us to pray and rest. Very often, what we do, we make the mistake as Christians, I don't know whether this is just our human nature, or whether it's the fact that we just don't want to let go. But we pray, we bring our request to God. And then after we've prayed, we'll spend the rest of the day worrying about it, trying to see how we can take control of the situation. But all God wants us to do is to let our request be made known to Him and then take rest. We let Him take the care of it. Now, if He's got the care of it, what are we doing? We should be resting. Now, we're going to develop this theme, this thought, in a later study, but there is a rest for the people of God. Now, our flesh, our natural man, wants to take control. It wants to say, okay, I've got a problem, I've got a need, I've got to sort it out. The flesh wants to go its own way, wants to run its own course. And we're in danger then of being disobedient to what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't worry about these things. Is it okay for us to worry then? If Jesus says don't do it? Definitely not. If we do something which Jesus has told us don't do it, we're actually in sin. And by worrying and being anxious about the things we need, we're actually in sin. Now, we might not like to give it that label, but that's reality, that's what it is. Because it's being disobedient to what G- Jesus told us, being disobedient to the word of God. It says, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. And we take all these things upon us. You know, we worry. We're anxious about it. We're fearful about what might happen if things go wrong. And actually, in fact, if we're like that, if we're worrying, we're fretful, we've got anxiety in our hearts, we've got fear, we're not at rest. We're constantly in turmoil. Now, God wants us to rest. That's why he said these words, and let me finish with them in 1 Peter chapter 5. Because what we see is fruitfulness and blessing come out of rest. And we have to strive to enter into that rest. We touched on that last week. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, and actually, this was read this morning. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Then it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Look what he says here. He says, I want you to cast all your care upon him. You know, the Lord invites us to cast all our cares upon him. He said, give them to me. Why? Because you cannot carry that burden. You've got to let them go. We've got to let go of them. Why should we cast them onto him? Why? Because Jesus cares for us. He cares for you and me. He says, be sober. Now, as was pointed out, that doesn't mean... not being drunk with wine here. It's to be of the right mind. And if you're full of worry and cares, you're not of the right mind. You're double-minded, as James says. And do you know what James says in James 1? He says that double-minded man, he says he cannot suppose that he will receive anything from God. So if you want to receive from God, you've got to learn to rest. God wants to bless us, and he's given us rest so that he can bless us. We'll leave it there tonight. Amen.